This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, April 12th, 2024. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, how bike riders for the food delivery company Deliveroo are organizing globally. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
To starve, we're the first ones to die, the first ones in line for that high in the sky, and we're always the last. When the cream is shed out, for the worker is working when the fat cat's about.
This is Radio Labour.
This is a call to respect the rights of delivery riders.
That is one of the 135,000 bike riders working for the huge food delivery company Deliveroo. The company, headquartered in London, works in 11 countries around the world. To help improve the wages and working conditions of the company's workers, the International Transport Workers Federation has organized a global network called Rights for Workers. The ITF represents almost 20 million workers in 147 countries. Here are some of Deliveroo's workers.
It was easy to start, just needed a bike and a phone, and I could start making deliveries. It was a fun and sporty job, but over the years, Deliveroo started making the work circumstances worse and worse.
We've seen ever-declining conditions of work and pay, with very slow legislative reform to catch up to this.
As a rider, we are considered freelancers. However, we represent the company, we work for the company, we provide a service for the company on a long-term basis. There is a problem also with wages. When there are low orders, the fees are low, the restaurant times can be really long, and you are never paid to wait.
And then all of a sudden, one day to the other, Deliveroo doubled the amount of so-called co-workers in our town, and there were not enough orders to go around anymore. So after 2 years of working, I lost half of my income in just a few days' time.
We would want to see fair pay, compensations for waiting times, and at least a minimum rate, and when there are no orders, pay. There is a huge problem with work safety. You have to work faster, you have to work more, you have to ride faster in order to make a minimum amount of income.
We can't afford not to work. We can't afford to take time off. We're stuck. We have no income. I would appreciate if the companies do a bit more for their riders, because after all, we're the one who actually deliver their products.
These implications of the company in terms of labor rights are huge. As colleagues, there are 110,000 of us around the world. We can unite and we have a chance to go against a big company like this. Not to hurt them, but to bring attention to us, the riders.
To any investors, I would just ask you to look at the ethics, the ethical aspect of this before considering investing in these companies. Ask yourself whether you feel comfortable investing in a company that blatantly exploits workers across the world and on platforms that might well be the standard form of work for everyone in the not-too-distant future.
To better understand how the ITF and its network Rights for Workers operates and its demands, I talked to Baker Kundakshi. Ms. Kundakshi is the ITF's Young Transport Workers and Future of Work Officer. I reached her in Jordan.
Since November 2020, the ITF established this International Rights for Riders Network. Our initial activities brought together the delivery riders around the world and amplified their demands in the lead up to the company's April 7th IPO on the London Stock Exchange. The Rights for Riders Network brings together ITF affiliates who are organizing gig workers. And some of those affiliates are, for example, the TW in Australia, SNV in the Netherlands, BTB in Belgium, and others. But also uniquely, the network includes new independent unions and riders groups I believe being in the UK, largely for the relationships and the different Milano and Italy. And after 7 months of planning meetings, bringing together a union and those larger groups from 20 different countries of where the company operates, they operate in 12 countries around the world, we launched our Rights for Riders campaign with a public website and a call to action just before the IPO launch. We organized joint global action before the IPO launch, which they were continued and ended with the strike in the UK where Deliveroo as a company is based on the day of the IPO. And while the company stubbornly refused to engage with market issues, the coverage of fair working conditions totally overshadowed the company's own charm offensive, which included one-time payments to riders back then. And ultimately, the result was at least 12 major investment funds announced that they did not participate in the IPO, in part due to the growing risk presented by concerns from riders about working conditions. And Deliveroo's IPO failure, which was listed as one of the worst in the history of the London Stock Exchange by several media outlets, I think serves as an example for any other gig economy employers about the importance of addressing workers' concerns.
The Global Network Rights for Riders, what is the mandate of the network? What is its goal? What will it do?
During our last Congress, the ITS Congress in 2018, which is our highest governance body or event, our affiliates agreed that tech employers and the gig economy was identified as a priority area, specifically companies who use technology as an excuse to hide archaic employment practices that exploit vulnerable workers and threaten to drive down their standards. So in the ITF, we took the lead around organizing and campaigning in the gig economy. And we recognize there's a very high percentage of young people, a young population in this sector. And we focused on the food delivery at the beginning. We started organizing things as of 2019 and then followed by, as I mentioned, the Rights for Riders initiative. The reason why it was established was to be together their issues, their demands, and build a network that could empower them because they needed to take action on national level and we needed to coordinate their voices on global level. This is how it grew. And then the executive board of the ITF also established a gig economy advisory group from members of its executive board to oversee our strategy around the gig economy work.
What else does the ITF do to help young people like that?
Specifically in the gig economy sector, we established our gig economy employer principles, our demand. They lay out a vision for workers and union rights in the gig economy, and these are basically launched on our website, and they address key principles around health, safety, and back-to-back PPE, especially with the rise during the pandemic of that sector. And the correct employment classification, the living wage, human and humane control. You know that one of the biggest issues is around who manages the data and the algorithms that actually are the employers of these workers. Those 10 principles set what you see as the demand for workers in the gig economy.
Here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included the news that this year's Arthur Svensson Prize has been awarded to a trade union activist from Myanmar. The Svensson, often referred to as the Global Labor Movement's Nobel Prize for 2024, has been given to Kang Zhar Ong. Her accomplishments are too many to list here. Look for the link to the story from the Svensson website on our site to read about her amazing life. And from around the world, we have ongoing coverage of the ways in which unions are mobilizing for this year's International Workers' Memorial Day on the 28th of April, and details about the Italian dockers' walkout. Also, top stories this week were the actions African unions are taking in response to the sovereign debt crisis on the continent, the ongoing strike against Tesla in Sweden, and demands for accountability as more Serbian journalists are assaulted and harassed. Also, top stories this week were the actions African unions are taking in response to the sovereign debt crisis on the continent, the ongoing strike against Tesla in Sweden, and demands for accountability as more Serbian journalists are assaulted and harassed. On our Working Women news page, you'll find details about the changes to tertiary education in New Zealand that unions there are certain will negatively and disproportionately impact women, an interview with a Ugandan trade union activist on what she and her comrades are doing to fight gender-based violence, and several items from the UK, where the fight for pay equity by local council workers across the country is ongoing. Stories appearing on our health and safety page in Newswire this week include the kickoff of a workplace violence campaign by library workers in the United States, reports of new hazards at solar generation projects in Australia. While from South Africa, we have reports of protests by healthcare workers after yet more workplace assaults, and the astounding news that there have been 131 armed robberies at schools in a single municipality in just the last 5 months. Our current photo of the week comes to us from Canada, where workers at the Art Gallery of Ontario are on the picket line. And as you might expect, art gallery workers can get quite creative with their picket signs. We're featuring a photo of one of many memorable signs this week. Labor Start hosts online solidarity actions at the request of unions around the world. This week we'd like to highlight an urgent appeal for online solidarity with trade union activists in Egypt. There, a walkout by 3,700 women workers at a state-owned garment factory has resulted in judicial persecution. Strike leaders have been arrested, and all the strikers have the threat of dismissal for absenteeism, in other words, dismissal for striking, hanging over their heads. Those 3,700 workers are calling on us all to send a solidarity message as they continue their fight. If you can spare just a few seconds, you can do your part in this struggle by sending such a message. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is a Longest John's community project, The Workers' Song.
Oh, come on all you workers, who toil night and day, by hand and by brain, to earn your pay, who for centuries all past, for no more than your bread, have bled for your countries and counted your dead.
We're the first ones to starve. We're the first ones to die, the first ones in line for that high in the sky, and we're always the last. When the cream is shed out, for the worker is working when the fat cat's about.
In the factories and mills, in the shipyards and mines, we've often been told to keep up with the times. For our skills are not needed, they streamline the job. West slide rule and stopwatch are pride they have robbed.
We're the first ones to starve. We're the first ones to die. The first ones in line for that high in the sky. And we're always the last. When the cream is shed out, for the worker is working when the fat cats about.
And when the sky darkens and the prospect is war, who's given a gun and then pushed to the fore and expected to die for the land of our birth?
Though we never own one lousy handful of earth, we're the first ones to starve, we're the first ones to die.
And that's it. Labor news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.